Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Everybody in this house needs to calm down. Eat some fruit or something.
Swing away, Meryl.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Scene.
Scene. That's a wrap, everybody. Yeah. Come back next week.
Welcome to this week's episode, and we are done. Yeah. That's the peak.
That's the pinnacle of our career, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't get much better.
I never thought I was good at acting until that scene.
Yeah.
And I think people will agree that is some of the best acting.
You nailed it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You nailed it. And Grammy Award.
See, I feel like Grammy isn't enough for that. I think that's Oscar worthy.
Golden Globe.
No one cares about the Golden Globes. Even people that win Golden Globes use them as like paperweights or something. To be honest, I don't actually think anyone cares about award shows anymore.
No, they do.
And do you know, the other day, I heard this quote from someone who was famous. It might have been Ryan Reynolds. But it was very interesting to me that these actors and actresses, they already make millions from things that they do.
Yeah.
Endorsements, sponsorships. They just...
Adverts, yeah.
Adverts, yeah. Money. And then we reward them even more.
By giving them a golden statue. Yeah.
Like, it's nuts.
Like, you need
isn't it?
More.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I can't remember the last time anyone actually cared.
Like, no. I don't care about the podcast awards.
I don't care about the podcast anymore.
No, the award. Mm. You know, they do like that award every year. And I think it, there's like a judges panel, but I think it's largely based on the people voting who are listeners. Mm. Now, we can't even get people to give us a rating on Apple podcast. What chance would we have at getting an award at British Podcasting Awards?
I think I know what you mean, and there's certain channels or hosts of people that do podcasts that always seem to win awards.
Anyone attached to the BBC?
Yeah. I didn't want to mention it, but yeah.
I will. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the BBC anymore. I think there's too many conspiracies going on there.
I'd never watch the BBC. Mm. Don't want anything to do with them, really.
Yeah.
It's just the way things have gone. Anyway, it is... Well, it's that time of year, isn't it?
Mm.
The pollen has started calming down. Our hay fever is not quite so annoying as it was just a couple of months ago. Mm. Harvest is over. The combines have stopped combining. the tractors are still going and carting stuff here and there. But, you know, it's that time of year. And I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm.
Have you seen a crop circle this year? Or indeed ever?
Mm. In the flesh? No.
No?
I've never seen an actual crop circle.
Neither have I.
I used to make crop circle designs in my little turtle sand pit when I was young.
Oh, fair play.
So I suppose you could say I made sand circles.
Me and my friends used to make little dens in the long grass in a field where we used to walk the dog.
Yes,
so I suppose that could be a crop circle, but it was entirely made by me and my mates.
Mm. It's very mysterious.
Yeah.
Mm. But no, I've never seen a crop circle.
I never have it either. But this year, there is every year in England, at least, there are always crop circles. This year, I checked on the internet, so far anyway, because obviously we're recording this in August. It'll go out in September. But so far, I've found two.
Oh.
The first one of the year was at Wilton Windmill. Nearly couldn't say that. Wilton Windmill, 6 miles southeast of Marlborough.
Oh, Marlborough. Make pork pies. Is that the place I'm thinking of?
Possibly.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of cigarettes.
Marlborough cigarettes, yeah. Spelt the same. Don't think the cigarettes are made there. Mm. It's possibly an American company. I don't know. but yeah, it was quite a simple crop circle, a simple circle with a ring around it, with three circles attached to the ring, and then like a trail of circles coming off it, five circles coming off it. It kind of looked almost cross-shaped, like a Christian cross, but made out of circles.
Okay.
About a week later, near Badbury Rings, Dorset, a five-pointed star design showed up.
Oh, like the Star of David kind of thing.
No, it was five-pointed like that, but again, it was more like a Celtic cross. You know how the Celtic cross sort of circles out with like all done with like semicircles. I've put here five-pointed star design made of intricately connected sweeping curves.
Mm, very beautifully put.
Yeah. Mm. I might even make that the thumbnail picture for this week's episode because it was quite a nice looking crop circle.
Mm.
But anyway, that's what we're covering this week. Crop circles. It's been nearly 2 years of a podcast, and this is the first time we've done crop circles. I can't believe it. You can't believe it, but we're doing it.
I'd laugh, though, because I thought that would be so amazing if you started talking about crop circles. And you were like, and this week, we're diving into something completely different.
Which you probably could do. Yeah. But okay, so here's a question.
Mm.
When were crop circles first discovered? You can't look at that.
No. I'm going to guess. Because
that's wrong anyway.
Do you know what? If I had to just take a random date that in my mind would make sense, somewhere in the 1960s, 1970 maybe.
Well, you in one respect, you're spot on.
Mm.
And in another respect, you're way off.
Okay.
So 1963, a little known... astronomer went by the name of Patrick Moore.
Oh.
Ever heard of him?
I've heard of Roger Moore.
You never heard of Patrick Moore?
No.
Well, the Sky at Night.
Never heard
Games
of him.
Master.
No.
One of the most famous British astronomers ever.
Oh, that Patrick Moore.
Yeah, that one.
No, I've right, never heard so, of him.
Well, he went down a Wiltshire one day in 1963, and he came across what he described as craters in the ground, But it was more like flattened crops. They called it spiral flattening back in the 60s. And generally they were like quite simple designs, just like basic circles, nothing massively intricate back then. But that, he was the guy that kind of pioneered them in modern history. But that is far from being the actual first recorded incident of crop circles. The first one comes from a Hertfordshire pamphlet from 1678.
1678.
That's when it was published.
Is that before like cowboys and Indians and stuff? 1670.
It's probably around about the same time.
1678.
But on a completely different country and continent.
When was the Battle of Hastings?
1066.
Oh, no, it's not that far back.
Long time ago. But, you know, no, in 1678, a pamphlet came out called The Mowing Devil. And what it was a story about a rich farmer that wanted to employ, a neighbourhood people to come and help him harvest his crops. He looked for someone that was known back then as a mower. Yeah?
Okay.
It's a fairly modern term when you mow your grass or whatever. It's the same difference, you know?
Mm.
Same as what combine harvesters do these days. They just mow down massive fields, you know, loads and loads of acres. Well, this guy had got about 1.5 acres of oats. And he employed the local person, fairly poor person. But being a wealthy farmer, the poor person tried to sort of try it on a little bit, get a bit more money out of him. And the farmer refused to pay him the amount that the mower was asking. And they had an argument. They separated ways, not very amicably. But then the poor mower, the neighbour, whatever, the village person, realised what a mistake he'd made. If he upset this farmer, the farmer might talk to other farmers. He might not get any more work. So he went back to the farmer, found him in his barn or whatever, and said, like, you know, I'm sorry. I still want to mow your field for a lesser price. Would you let me come and help you harvest your crops? And the rich farmer said, and I quote, from the pamphlet said, "The devil should mow my oats rather than he."
Mm.
And it was what was described as 3 half acres. And this is a direct quote from the pamphlet. It says, "And so it fell out that very night the crop of oats showed as if it had been all of a flame, but next morning appeared so neatly mowed by the devil or some infernal spirit that no mortal man was to do the like."
That's a lot of old English.
Yeah. But it describes the first crop circle. That overnight, the oats had been flattened, had been cut, had been, you know, destroyed, if you like. In a very intricate pattern. So neatly was it laid that they assumed that no mortal man could have done it in just one night. Which is very, very akin to the crop circles that we see these days.
Interesting.
So if no mortal man was able to do it, who does do it?
We've always been led to believe it's aliens.
We have.
But then I don't want to interfere with your research, so I might...
Well, it turns out mortal men did do it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
At least in 1991, a fella called Doug Bauer and a fella called Dave Chorley came out, and they were from Southampton, near the home, if you like, the capital of crop circles, because crop circles generally, like I say, Wiltshire is the capital of crop circles, closely followed by Hampshire, Oxfordshire and Dorset.
All nice places, aren't they?
All nice places, yeah. West of London, but not as far as Cornwall. Sort of, you know, in the heart of the country, the heartlands. And obviously they're from Southampton, which is the south coast around that region. And they claimed to have made over 200 crop circles since the late 1970s through the 1980s, all the way up until 1991 when they came out and admitted it. And they did it all with nothing but ropes and boards mm-hmm. to flatten the crop. And while this is a crude method, it works, but it tends to snap and damage the stalks and leave, like, scuff marks. It'll tear, like, leaves and stuff off the plants. And there's generally, you know, evidence that it has been done sort of man-made.
Carelessly, in a way. Just no disregard for the actual crops.
Yeah, sort of like that, yeah. but it was brought to light that they can't have done all of them. They claim to have made pretty much every single crop circle since the 1970s, all the way through the 80s, up to 1991. They said, no, we're responsible for all of them. Mm. But a physicist called William C. Levengood analysed crops from a whole load of crop circles, and he found that in a lot of the crop circles, the stalks had been exposed to high levels of electromagnetic and microwave radiation, causing the control nodes on the stalks. You know how stalks of, like, wheat and oats and whatnot grow? You know, you have those little nodes and little nodules, and then you get a long bit of stem, and then you get another nodule, right? Those nodules, or those nodes, control nodes, as they're known, but due to this electromagnetic and microwave radiation, they said it could have been heated up in excess of 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And when that happens, the control nodes become supple and they expand and bend without damaging them. Yeah, and they will expand to sometimes up to 6 or 7 times their normal size. And they'll bend over at that point. Without damaging the crop can still grow, still sucks nutrients out of the ground, and is still perfectly harvestable, differing to how Dave and Doug used to do it with boards and rope. They would damage the crops, and quite often farmers would complain about the way that the crops had been treated.
Big difference there.
Very big difference. Now, there's no technology on Earth that is able to produce this effect on that kind of scale. On this, because, like, crop circles, they could be anything from, like, 0.5 acre to, like, 3 acres big, you know. And there's no technology that we know of that could do that kind of effect in such mass abundance so precisely to create crop circles. Now, one of the things about crop circles that the investigators have found with the ones, the genuine ones, the mysterious ones, not the ones that are just created by a couple of dudes with boards and ropes.
Can I just ask, just very quickly?
Yeah.
If these guys have come out and admitted to all of these crop circles with boards and string, they're damaging the crop. Surely the farmers are losing money, so they're liable for
criminal damage.
Criminal damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, I don't know if they've ever been held accountable for it or ever been prosecuted for it or not. I don't know. That didn't come up. But yeah, technically, you are right. Mm. Now, the difference is with the mysterious crop circles, the ones that we assume that aliens have created, they obviously never damaged the stalks. And where the lines of the crop circle, the sweeping curves, the actual circle impression is made in the rest of the crop, it's always bouncy around the edges. The crops are folded down, but they're not, like, folded completely over and, like, hammered flat, you know? There's always just, like, bounciness. I'm trying to struggle to find the word. A buoyancy sort of thing to the crop, if you like.
Like a delicate touch of circle crops. It hasn't been roughly executed.
Yeah, and they may be completely flattened in the middle, but around the edges they seem to sort of taper up into the normal growing crops. And it's done... And a lot of farmers are quite... divided on this. Some farmers say, yes, it's criminal damage. No one should be doing this. It's, you know, stopping us from earning money. Yet the other half of the farmers say, no, it's not a problem. The combine still picks it up. We're still able to harvest it. No one's really particularly worried about it. Some crops. Now, you remember I mentioned like electromagnetic and microwave radiation.
Mm.
Some crops and crop circles, actually the same crop circle can be seen subsequent years, year after year, because of what's ever happened in the ground. So, like, even though they've harvested, like, the rapeseed or the oats or wheat or barley, it might be, like, barley one year, and then when they put rapeseed in the next year, the crops grow. And you can still see the shape of the crop circle from the year before.
Hmm.
Also, not in my notes, but also, that I remember because I only did my research yesterday, some people have claimed that they've had electrical disturbances when walking in crop circles. Their phones go glitchy, you know, stuff like that. One person even claimed that they took a laptop into a crop circle for whatever reason. I don't know why, but they claimed it completely erased their hard disk, and they were very infuriated by the fact that their computer, their laptop, no longer worked after taking it into a crop circle. So, I mean, they're, you know, it adds credence to this idea that UFOs possibly, or aliens, are making them above a guy with a plank and a bit of rope. Because yeah. I don't think a plank and a bit of rope is going to leave electromagnetic and microwave radiation in the ground.
I'm also thinking that a plank and a bit of rope is also very simple tools for such intricate designs.
It is, but they have shown that it's able, that they were able to do it.
Hmm.
And I've got my notes here. Although Doug and Dave have been filmed showing how they made their circles, and they were, people, you know, camera crews went out, followed them around, and they showed how that they'd lay out their ropes and make like a sort of a grid pattern, or they'd, you know, use like trigonometry or whatever it is to actually design the curves, the sweeping curves, and the patterns that they wanted to convey. And they'd do it all they'd plan it out before they actually went out there, so that they know where to lay their ropes and, you know, where to tether from, you know, to get their circumferences and whatnot. That they could make some very, really, really quite intricate designs, but it would take them hours and hours and hours to do it.
Mm.
And most crop circles appear overnight or early morning.
Yeah. Well, farmers are up early.
Farmers are up early. crop circles will also appear in the same region and even the same farms, sometimes even the same field, year after year.
Hmm.
Okay? Now, farmers are obviously going to keep a lookout, aren't they? Like you just said. Farmers keeping watch. Farmers, circle watchers, people who actually go out at this time of year throughout July and August, you know, hunting crop circles, looking for, you know, what they can find, seeing if they can find people making them or whatever's making them. They'll set up high-powered night vision surveillance equipment, you know, even get police involved to watch the area, you know, make sure that there's no one lurking around that could possibly be up to that kind of mischief.
Yeah.
No one, not a single person, has ever been caught in the act of creating a crop circle.
Hmm.
Ever. Anywhere. And crop circles aren't just in England. We are, like, the home of crop circles. Like, right, Wiltshire particularly. England, very well known for its crop circles. But they have appeared all over the world.
So have Doug and Dave taken their boards across international waters?
Who knows?
Hmm.
I would say if it's a global phenomenon, that gives weight to the theory of the alien design.
Yeah.
What are you thinking so far?
I think aliens are always been tied, or have always been tied, to crop circles. Some of the patterns and things, though, I know you say it can be done in a few hours and whatnot, but like to. you said they use ropes and things.
Yeah.
They would have to have torches and stuff. Like, you'd have to see in the middle of the night. And like you said, if no one's ever been caught doing it...
And bear in mind, there are plenty of people out there in Wiltshire looking for people creating what crop circles at this time of year.
And then even what you said about the bending of it and the doesn't ruin the crop... I'm leaning more towards alien technology.
Yeah?
In a way, yeah.
Jumping on Team Alien.
I just don't think the planks of wood and rope... I just don't believe it. I think there's more to it. Maybe they're the scapegoats for the aliens. I don't know.
Well, I would like to say, as I've previously said, no one's ever been caught in the act creating it. Not a single person.
Mm.
But there is... film footage of a crop circle being created by, let's say, aliens, because it was seemingly by orbs floating over the field.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited to premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
And this happened at Oliver's Castle on the 11th of August in 1996. Now, what happened was a young lad, about 19 years old, called John Wadley. He went down to Wiltshire. He wanted to go crop circle hunting, basically. He was on the crop circle trail. Lots of people go down there at this time of year, you know, because there are guided tours, you know, to go and see this year's crop circles if you want to go and book yourself into one. They do exist.
So they definitely happen every year.
Every year.
Okay.
Right. So he went down there, went down to the local pub or whatever, wanted to see if anybody would join him in his, he wanted to do a night watch, you know, watch out for anything that might happen. Like I said, people do that, but it wasn't particularly one of the nicest nights. It was a bit grey, dull, possibly a bit of rain. No one particularly wanted to join him. So off he went on his own, set up himself a tent and stayed the night out in the fields. He might have stayed up quite late, went to bed. He said that at around 4 o'clock in the morning, he was awoken by some kind of undefined sound. He couldn't put a name to what had actually disturbed him. But he got up, opened his tent, and he saw UFOs. He saw these orbs flying over a field right in front of him. And so, this being the 90s, he picked up his camcorder. Remember, this is an old school camcorder. It's not like digital photography these days or what you've got on your iPhone or anything
VHS
like that.
VHS.
Yeah, basically, it would be an actual tape cassette inserted into a camcorder that's recording directly to that tape. And he filmed probably for about 15 minutes, he said. Filmed these orbs flying over the field. He said at the time he didn't even notice the crop circle being created as he was watching them. But after the orbs had disappeared, these UFOs disappeared, he stopped the camera. He looked at his footage, obviously, and later on, he took it down to the local pub that he'd been at the day before, turned up there about 11 a.m, and started showing all the locals. And that's when they noticed that underneath these orbs flying over the crops, the impressions of the indentation, if you like, of the crop circles literally forming from nowhere underneath these flying orbs, about two or three flying orbs, and these crop circles was literally just being created out of nothing, and it created a six-pointed sort of snowflake design. You know how snowflakes form when you look at it under a microscope? It's got those that sort of pointed sort of look about it. Well, imagine that, but in circles. And that was what this crop circle looked like. I'll put the video up on the YouTube version. That was at 11 a.m. If this had been fake, he claimed that he filmed that around about between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning, and then turned up at the pub at 11 a.m. with this footage displaying still in the camcorder from like the viewfinder of the camcorder. So how he would fake that in 5 hours, I don't know. Because if he was faking that, he would have probably had to have faked the crop circle as well, created that with boards and string himself.
Yeah.
You know, so in that 5 hours, or at least overnight, for that to be fake, he would have had to have created that crop circle and then faked a video of UFOs creating that same crop circle.
Doesn't add up.
He gave it to a guy who wanted to take it for analysis, and that's what happened. The guy took it for analysis. When he tried to get the film back, apparently the guy had lost it, but all he'd got was around about the 15 seconds of film of that actual crop circle being made. He'd managed to retain that. So John managed to get that back from him and sent it off, obviously, for other analysis. Every single professional filmographer that has taken a look at that piece of film thinks it is genuine. A lot of people, public and whatnot, probably think it's fake. Because to look at it is amazing. I showed it you yesterday. Do you remember?
Yeah, it looked very cool.
It's a very cool looking piece of footage. But yeah, all professional filmographers believe that to be real. Right? They even sent it off to Disney Studios and said, could you recreate this?
Yeah.
And Disney Studios, bear in mind, this is still back in, 1996. Disney Studios said, yes, we could recreate it. A professional team could recreate this, but it would take at least 4 days, and there would still be some artifacts to show that it was fake. In the film that they were handed, they couldn't find any artifacts that it was fake. The camera's constantly in motion. Bear in mind, this is kind of the days before like Photoshop or After Effects or anything like that, you know, was widely available to the effects that you can do on it nowadays, at least, you know. And this was like on an actual 8mm film or whatever. So to fake it and put it back onto the original film is very difficult to do.
The actual video is very 90s.
The resolution is terrible. It's grainy, but like every point of light, the actual UFOs are on every single frame in the right position. There's no streaks. There's no artifacts to say that those orbs are faked, or that the actual crop circle itself, just growing from nowhere, is fake.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know how you would do that in such a short amount of time with what technology have you got to be able to do that
with? Modern technology, possibly, probably wouldn't be too bad, but with modern technology you'd have a far like higher resolution camera. It'd all be digital. You could just file transfer, you could put it in, run it through Adobe After Effects, and you know, make things look really cool, like the, you know, like Warner Brothers and, you know, Disney and whatnot do these days. They can make actors appear 30 years younger, you know, which they have done recently quite a lot in films, and all using just computer generated imagery. But back then, you didn't have those capabilities. Certainly the normal man you know, who just probably spent all of his money. This is a 19-year-old kid. He's probably spent all of his money just on the camcorder.
Yeah.
They weren't cheap.
And also, 1996 still wasn't the peak or the height of, like, internet technology.
No.
Really, so... No, yeah,
like you say, it's not even high definition film. It's like 480 or something like that, you know?
Yeah, it would be a lot harder to fake. But it does actually just look like a genuine camcorder, like, video.
I think it does. I was always sort of on the fence about it. I didn't know whether it was or it wasn't. But from doing the research and from getting testimonials from professional videographers, you know, cinematographers and whatnot, I think that it is a genuine piece of footage.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I really do.
It's, I don't know. Because the orbs are also not, like, UFO shaped, are they?
They're just little points of light in
looks
the sky.
Like,
and then this little bum hole in the middle of the field opens up and just sort of spreads and more little holes appear in the corn, and yeah,
they look like silver ball bearings just floating.
Yeah, just floating around.
Yeah, yeah, it's good video. I like it.
The only way that I could think would be, obviously it's early morning, would be dust motes showing, you know, when light catches on dust and it shows up on films.
Mm.
It's the only way that I could think it would be genuinely, like, recreated. But then the orbs are flying around with purpose, if you know what I mean. They're not just, like, drifting on the air or in the wind. They're going all over that field in different directions at different heights and, you know, altitudes and whatnot.
It's like a dance, like synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Very, very compelling evidence, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Another piece of compelling evidence, now this is not apparently backed up by SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They think that this is not genuine. But to give you some background, have you ever heard of the Arecibo antenna? No?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can't remember where it is, like in Chile or somewhere like that. I can't remember. But it's been around for a long, long time. And in 1974... a physicist called Carl Sagan and Frank Drake. Frank Drake came up with the Drake equation. Do you remember I told you about that? I'm not sure if I remember bringing that up on the podcast or not.
If I'm honest, I can't even remember what I had for dinner yesterday. So.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll cover the Drake equation at another point.
Oh, please do. Refresh my memory.
Well, I can go into it now. But the Drake equation was basically how likely we are to find other civilizations in the universe. So Frank Drake came up with this equation to say, right, how many stars are there in the universe? How many of those stars have planets? How many of those planets are hospitable for life? How many of those planets that are hospitable for life could form life? How many have formed life? And then how many have formed intelligent life that has, you know, technological advancements capable of being seen by us? Turns out not many. Also, we see, but yeah, Carl Sagan and Frank Drake, very, very, like, famous physicists or astronomers from back in the day. In 1974, they sent a signal in binary code from the Arecibo radio telescope towards a star cluster known as Messier 13. It was a globular cluster, which means there's literally, like, thousands or millions of stars packed into this tiny, tiny little area of sky. And it's around about 25,000 light years from Earth. That's what they were aiming at. That's what they were firing their message towards. The message, like I said, was in binary. And to read it, you would have to convert it into a 23 by 73 grid, yeah? So it'd be 23 noughts or ones across, 73 down.
Okay.
Okay, so a strip, if you like. Now, what was contained in that message that they broadcasted is in seven parts. It's constructed in seven parts. The numbers 1 to 10... the atomic numbers for hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and phosphorus. These are all the elements that make up DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here on Earth. Formulas for chemical compounds that make the nucleotides of DNA. And this is all done in binary. The estimated number of DNA nucleotides in the human genome, and a graphic of the double helix that makes up DNA.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah?
Mm.
Right. The average height of a human, around about 5'9",
mm.
on yeah, average yeah, across yeah. the planet, and a graphic of a human person, a human being, and the approximate population of Earth that was around about 4 billion at the time.
Mm.
A graphic representation of our solar system indicating that the third planet from the sun was our home, which mm. it is, the Earth, Mercury, mm-hmm. Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, blah, blah. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, a graphic representation of the Arecibo radio telescope itself, including its dimensions, its measurements, how big it was. Yeah?
And this is all on the hopes that someone would find this.
All, yeah, all just fired out into the universe, hoping that somebody would receive the message, figure out what we were trying to say, and send a message back.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And we listened out, we listened through the Arecibo telescope. Bear in mind, this is travelling 25,000 light years, so even though, like, radio waves are going to take 25,000 years, you'd imagine that anybody's going to send a response, it'll be 50,000 years. No, it took 27 years.
Hmm.
In 2001, we got an answer. Near Chilbolton Radio Telescope in Hampshire, we had a crop circle. Not really a circle. Like I said, this was a 23 by 73 grid, a strip, had been flattened into the crops that echoed the same visual representation of the original message. Yeah?
Hmm.
I'll show you a picture of it afterwards. But the reply had some differences, right? So you remember I said the atomic numbers for hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and phosphorus makes up our DNA.
Yeah.
Apparently, silicone had been added to those chemical elements. Now, silicone has been proposed as possibly one of the starting blocks of life, not on this planet, but out there in the universe, because silicon is very close to carbon that we're all made up of.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's proposed that even like Star Trek back in the 1960s proposed that silicon-based life forms could be a thing. Right? The DNA had been remapped and seemed to show more of like a triple helix rather than a double helix.
So these answers are similar but slightly different.
Yeah, very slightly different. Okay, the human figure on the graphic. Now, normally it just looked like a stick man.
Mm.
Didn't even have a round head, just had a stump coming out from the top of the shoulders. That had been replaced with what we would normally consider a grey alien, even with eyes in it. Like a bulbous head, little alien dude. The solar system that they came from was depicted as the third, fourth, and fifth planets from the sun were all their points of origin. So they now occupy three planets in their solar system, not just the one that we do. Mm. And at the bottom, the Arecibo telescope had been replaced by a replica design of the crop circle in that very same field 1 year earlier. The crop circle, possibly depicting their own antenna, would have been far more advanced than our own.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very complicated design.
Especially if they've got more DNA and made of silicone.
Exactly. and capable of transcoding our signal and issuing a response in just 27 years, not the 50,000 that we were expecting.
So they said they occupy three planets.
Yeah.
Is that in our solar system?
No, no, in their solar system.
In their solar system. But they share the same sun. Or is it a different sun?
Well, in a their solar system, it would be a different sun, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be our sun.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
No, it'll be a different sun. It would be. I don't know where.
So they could. That means they could travel a long, far way as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you've tickled my teeth.
Now, like I say, SETI weren't convinced about this. They thought it was possibly a hoax. It's a very intelligent, very cleverly concocted, and very well thought out and presented hoax, if it is. Yeah?
Well, the people replying is a hoax.
That's what SETI thought, yeah.
But then they've answered the questions pretty accurately.
Yeah, we've given them the information about Earth, and then we've received information about them and the differences between us.
Mm.
That's what makes me think, you know, it's quite legitimate.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one more that I want to present to you that I'm not 100% about. The alien head from August of 2002. Now, this one, I'm sure you've probably seen pictures of it before, I don't know. It literally a portrait of an alien in the field, but it looks like it's been produced on, like, you know, one of them old dot matrix printers, or I've written in my notes, like, pixel graphics on, like, old computer games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's literally a portrait of an alien, again, in a rectangle, all done out of lines and very carefully made to look like a grey alien head looking at you with a little bit of a sort of sinister look at it. And next to this portrait is a perfect circle, and the circle contains, again, binary code that reads from the inside out, like what a CD does. And when you decode the binary and convert it into ASCII characters, which is how computers make words. You know, they obviously, computers, the very basic function is just zeros and ones. Mm. That's how computers think. And you have to have certain combinations of zeros and ones that then make other numbers that then you can convert into letters and words. And that's how computer keyboards make words. Yeah. So this CD-like crop circle had a message that we could decode by using the ASCII matrix.
The zeros and ones.
Yes, out of zeros and ones. The decoded message reads, I quote, "Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe. There is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing."
We oppose deception. So they're against deception.
Yeah, they're against deception. They want us to believe that they are trying to spread the words of truth in their crop circles, in their messages, in their appearances.
But what does it all mean, Basil? That's the thing. It's so many cryptic clues and symbols, and why don't they just show up?
Well, the thing is, Josh, we are a very bloodthirsty, war-loving species that can't even come together as, you know, multinational, universal world, a planet. You know, we divide ourselves up. We have wars. There's wars going on in the world all the time at the moment.
Mm.
And if you and I were traveling through space and came to an alien culture and you saw wars going on the world, on the planet, would you want to go down and introduce yourself? Or would you prefer to just, like, leave little cryptic messages about the place?
Mm.
I vote B.
But no one seems to, like... I just feel like we're so far away from having some sort of utopia, where people, there's always going to be problems.
Yeah.
So we're never going to find out if like what the actual message is, what these aliens are trying to say, if there is aliens.
Well, we're going to have to make a lot more efforts to straighten ourselves out before, and you know, so we can actually be a welcoming civilization that they would actually want to come and visit and say hello and actually, you know, broadcast their presence. Otherwise, all we're getting is little cryptic clues like this.
I mean, we can't even come together for like a little bit of climate change and stuff. And
no.
So it's, I get it. I don't. There's stuff going on in Peru with aliens that...
Well, this is the thing, all the like the Nazca lines that you see, like you say, in Peru and that, there's different cryptoglyphs, I think they're called cryptoglyphs or something like that. We see them all over the world. You see them in India and Australia, even Australia. You know, we see evidence of markings that have been created by who knows who in ways that we don't think... Or we don't have technology to be able to do that.
Mm.
Pops up all over the world. Crop circles is the UK or England's little piece of that. It's our little piece of the jigsaw. And it's up to humanity as a whole to try and figure it out and see if we can actually, you know, welcome these people that are trying to give us a message to tell them to come and land and say hello, have a cup of tea or a beer.
They should land anywhere but America.
Oh, you said that, not me.
Yeah. Well, I stand by it. Like, they don't even have healthcare, so if they shoot an alien, he's dead. He's on. That's it. Can't even patch him up without charging him $1 million. I just think, in all seriousness, I just think they're a lot more hostile. Like, I honestly do think, like, that's why maybe...
But we're not going to go off on a rant about the USA.
No, I'm not going to. What I'm saying is we're talking about aliens, we're talking about messages and stuff. I'm just saying maybe that is why that these aliens are coming down to Peru and visiting places where there are poorer people, essentially, is because they are maybe seeing the threats and stuff.
Maybe.
Bigger cities and bigger countries.
But that's my take on crop circles. Yes, I think it's obvious that Doug and Dave managed to create over 200 crop circles themselves with just boards and ropes and stuff like that. Mm. But I don't think they are the main creators or the original creators of crop circles. There's too much evidence to support the fact that we don't know how to create crop circles in the way that the genuine mystery ones are created.
I'm torn because there's not enough evidence to support that it is 100% aliens. But then,
will there ever be?
There's rubbish evidence to support Dingle and Dangle or whatever that
is. Doug and Dave.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't seem believable to me. That they're claiming every single crop circle. Nah, it's not right.
They claimed that, but. Even like some of the crop circle experts and that say that at most they only created around about 80% of the UK crop circles.
That was interesting. I didn't know that it was mostly UK that had the crop circles. So that's pretty
cool. We're the most famous for it. They have popped up all over the globe, but we are the most famous for it. Yeah, Wiltshire in particular. So come on, the paranormality scale.
The legend of crop circles. It's been going on many a year. So I have to give it respect for that there as well. So I'm going to give it an 8.6.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's still a very big mystery.
It is very, very big mystery.
The only thing I thought of when you were explaining it is, do you remember you said... that there's like a touristy attraction in Wiltshire or whatever every year.
There's tour guides.
The only seed of doubt I have is maybe, just maybe, Dave and Doug were hired for those particular crop circles. Does that make sense?
Oh, I see. So to guarantee that there's going to be crop circles to go and look at.
Yeah, that did cross my mind. I'm not saying that is what happened. That just crossed my mind.
I don't know. I think I can't remember the name of the woman that runs the crop circle tours. Mm. But, she's got a museum and everything, and she's been studying. She herself has over 800 cases of crop circles, not just the 200 that Doug and Dave created. She's got over 800 cases of crop circles, or, you know, documentation about them. She knows the score about crop circles.
And we still haven't seen, apart from that one video of the orbs.
Yeah.
There's nothing like...
No one has ever been caught in the act of creating a crop circle. So I'm going to give it... What did you give it? 8.6. I'm going to give it 9.1. Yeah.
That's crazy, even for you. 9.1.
Yeah.
You're giving it in the 9s.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 9.1.
Jiminy crickets, man.
I think it's good.
I mean, the story is good of crop circles, like the legend of crop circles. But the lack of evidence stopped me from going over to the 9s. Like, there's just...
Sometimes you've just got to have faith in these things.
Because you got to have faith, the faith, the faith.
I think, would that give us an 8.85?
I am the maths expert at the two, and I believe that is 8.925.
I think it's 8.85.
No. Can't possibly be right.
Okay.
No, 8.925. Well, I don't know.
Who knows? I think it's something like that. But I'm going with 9.1. I think that I would like to see a T-shirt designed with a crop circle on it. Elliot, get on that. Polar bear, get on that. But yeah, let us know what you think. Let us know. Write in paranormality.uk@gmail.com or write in on Discord, whatever you think. Let us know. Have you seen a crop circle ever, and have you seen one this year?
I reckon there could be some people that live near farms that could have possibly seen some crop circles.
Possibly. Definitely people in like Wiltshire, Hampshire, Dorset, Oxfordshire, and more likely to see it than what we are, being in East Anglia.
Yes.
And until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy.
Comfy.
I'm cozy.
Cozy.
I have zero blisters on my toes.
Blisters.
And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and T-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Meet Claude, Anthropic's AI assistant, ready to transform how your organization works. Empower every person in your organization with AI that thinks like a teammate, not a tool. Securely upload your company knowledge and watch as Claude helps every department, from engineering to marketing, produce their best work faster. Your data stays protected while your teams reach new heights. Discover enterprise-grade AI at anthropic.com/enterprise.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax.
A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.